Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around.
If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 335, recorded live from the De Fauntleroy studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, and sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Mike?
Doing good, buddy.
That's good. What's new with you down in sunny FLA?
Not much.
No?
No.
No. We got that tropical storm yesterday.
Did you lose power? I saw some people in Warwick might not get their power until like September.
I think they said Thursday at 10 o'clock at night.
That's that miserable grid that you have up there.
I didn't lose power, but...
Well, you're in that upscale. You're in the upscale neighborhoods.
Yeah, near the ACI, really, really high end over there.
Frank's out.
Yeah, he just got it back like an hour ago. So they came over here today to watch the girls because they didn't have power at their house.
AC.
Yeah, the AC was very nice.
Got up to 90 right now.
Oh yeah, got up to 90 today. Humid. Not too much damage though. Although
did you get some winds?
Oh, yeah. They said TF Green had 60-mile-an-hour gusts reported.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sean, we got a couple viewers. If you are watching, go ahead and post a comment. I want to see how this works. We're trying a new... Well, look at that on the bottom of the screen. You like that, Bill? Anyway, yeah. We're trying a new technology here using StreamYard to go live and to record.
So this podcast might come out a little choppy.
We'll see how it goes. So far, so good. But yeah, if you hear us reading some comments or something like that, that's because we are live. So the winds at TF Green, we had potential. I think they said they recorded 59-mile-an-hour winds at the max, which is pretty big. We got a decent amount of rain and a bunch of trees came down. Tons of trees down everywhere. Oh, wow. Doug Welling saying hi, guys. Let's see if we could put that. Look at that. This is the coolest thing.
This is fantastic.
I love this. 60-mile-an-hour winds, and I didn't have much damage. The only thing, so I have my umbrella on my porch in the back, like the patio umbrella, and it disconnects. So I disconnected it from the base, and I laid it down on my table. And I got back from work on Tuesday, and I went outside to assess the damage. It was still pretty windy, but I went outside to assess the damage, and I'm looking around, and there was a few things on the lawn that were on the porch, and I'm like, where'd the umbrella go? So I thought maybe, because Sarah went into work late on Tuesday, I thought maybe she put it in the shed, and I looked in the shed. It wasn't in there. I'm looking around. It ended up in the pool, the umbrella. No. Yeah. Luckily, it's like a cloth umbrella, just the top of it, and it went in. So there's no. I got it out. I had to hop in the pool and get it out today, and I was in there for a while pulling all the leaves off the bottom.
What are you going to do tomorrow morning when you don't have any water in the pool? You're going to be irritated, aren't you?
That would be a bad investment for the liner.
That thing just ripped the liner. That would be awful.
Mm.
That's when you just say, you know what, the hell with it. I'm taking this thing down.
Oh, that would definitely be the case. I'd ask if I could return the liner. it's only 2 weeks old. Can I return it? Can I get my money back? Oh, man. Yeah, that would be pretty bad. So you guys didn't get too much from that storm, right?
We got like a rain ban Sunday for about an hour.
Wow.
And that was about it. It reached Orlando, but we got a little band here, but it was just a little bit of rain.
Yeah, from what I saw, it looks like it skirted off to the east of Florida mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came up. I haven't said it's. How do you say it? Isais or something?
That's the name of it. That's close enough. Yeah, that's okay, close.
We'll go with that. So they weren't predicting it to be that bad here in Rhode Island, and then you know we didn't get much. It said it was staying west of us, but I saw today on online they said that there were more power outages during this storm than Hurricane Sandy in Rhode Island. In Rhode Island, yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy. I think there were 150,000 customers were out of power at the peak.
That's
during it.
12-13% of your population.
Well, no, that's of the customers of the households. Yeah, so that's a lot more probably.
Probably like a third or at least a quarter to a third, right?
Yeah, of the households. I don't know how many households are in Rhode Island. I know there's about a million people, but you know, you figure four per house, that's 600,000 people, right? If you average that. Four per household. Either way, it was pretty pretty brutal storm. Just high winds, just a lot of trees coming down. You know, I never felt like I had to batten down the hatches or anything, and I wasn't super worried about the big trees in my yard coming down, but a lot of big trees did come down. So it's it was scary for a little while, but we made it through. Never lost power, thankfully.
Did you have to work through this?
It didn't start until like 3 o'clock, so I was really on my way home in the car during the worst of it. It started raining really hard, and then it was windy. People were going really slow on 295, and then by the time I got to my parents to pick up the girls, they had no power at that point. They lost power like 2:30 maybe. So, you know, an hour, 2 hours after that, I got there. And it had stopped raining. The sun came out, but it was still super windy. So it had kind of like most of it had ripped through. And it wasn't too bad. But yeah, then today when I was driving around, I saw a lot of trees down on my way up off the side of the highway, even, you know, through some neighborhoods. And that was the biggest issue with the power outages. So many trees came down that the power company has to wait for the tree companies to clear it out before they could do the work. So it's a big cluster, you know what. So I didn't expect it when they were talking about the tropical storm. I know we talked about it, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
You were worried about it. You got nothing, and we got hammered up here.
Isn't that crazy?
You never know. You never know. What else? Did you play golf today? You were talking about Paul Azinger, so I didn't know. I
had a golf lesson.
Oh, lesson. Nice. Did you use Azinger's clubs?
No.
No.
He plays blades.
Oh, yeah. You're not good enough. Yeah. That's why you're taking the lessons, though. Maybe someday. What does he use? What's he have in his bag?
I didn't even look. I just went into the pro shop just to browse around. I didn't even look. Him and Jacqueline's bags are there.
Hmm. That's cool. Like, is it his actual bag? Like, when he shows up to play, he just grabs out of the pro shop, or is it like...
I don't know. Yeah, see, I don't know. I'll have to check next time.
It's got
to
be just like a tour bag with his name on it.
With his name on it, yeah.
A set of clubs in it. I can't imagine that's his main set, but who knows? Maybe it is. That's pretty cool, though. The lesson went well?
Oh, so I have a problem. Like, I was asking him, like, if he does any yoga, because, like, sometimes I fall back on the ball.
Yeah.
And he said, try this. He took two golf balls and made me stand on it, just my heels.
Oh, okay.
On the golf balls, right?
So that kept you forward, obviously.
And that kept me staying on the ground. And then I hit a few, and I hit them great. And he said, all right, get rid of the balls and hit a few. And then I hit a few after that, and, like, I stayed down because you're focusing on not falling off the ball when you hit it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was fantastic. Then I hit some hybrids off the deck, and I was killing them right to left. So yeah, things are moving, progressing finally.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So should we get into the unofficial beer sponsor of the
absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now that we're on camera, I can actually show it here. I don't know if you could see. Looks like it's got someone swimming and an octopus is grabbing them. This is called the Stranger Than Fiction Porter by the Collective Arts Brewing Company out of Wanakee, Wisconsin. Wanakee. Do you know Wanakee, Wisconsin, sir?
No, I don't.
You don't know Wanakee, Wisconsin.
It's a Scotty beer, huh?
Yeah. So this one is a porter. I got this for my birthday from Uncle Ed, the new dad. At hand. dropped it off. Ed Hand and my sister Catherine.
As he was flushing out the trailer? Cousin Eddie?
Cousin Eddie, yeah. So this is a Stranger Than Fiction Porter. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. I haven't had a porter in a while. This one's nice and smooth. Let's see what it says here. Brewed by Collective Arts. I said that. This is a 5.5 alcohol by volume. 1 pint. It's got Cascade and Nugget hops. Let me see. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. It's a good porter. I'm going to give it a 7.6 on the scale. Right on the screen. 7.6 for the Stranger Than Fiction porter.
It sounds miserable.
It does sound. You would not like that mud, would you?
No.
It's just pure mud. Now, let me ask you, sir. Should we discuss the year's first major is starting tomorrow as we speak. So we're recording this Wednesday, and then obviously it'll hit the podcast feed on Sunday. If you're watching it live, you'll get a preview. But we got the PGA Championship at Harding Park, San Francisco, California, the TPC Harding Park, a municipal track out there in San Fran. A lot of tall trees. The rough, they brought the fairways way in. The rough is very thick. They haven't played on this course all year. They've been.
I don't think I could hit those fairways with an 8-iron.
No, I mean, it would for us, it wouldn't matter. You just hit driver because it's as likely to go straight as anything else in the bag. But the rough looks gnarly out there. So who do you like in this major? You got to pick somebody. You want to think about it and come back to it at the end, or you want to discuss right now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that being said, we'll take a break here and we'll come back and get into the meat of the episode. Those of you listening live, we'll see that we don't really take a break, but for the podcast, we will. So we'll be right back after this.
Like before, I will fight the fight and win the war for your love, for your praise. And I'll love you till my dying days. When you're gone, I'll go mad. So don't throw away the sting we heard. Cause when push comes to shove, I will kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. Da 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 everybody da 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 da
da. Right back for break. This is episode number 335 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary, and this week we're going to do something that we haven't done. We didn't even talk about Food and Wine 2019, did we?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe the music a little bit, but we didn't talk about the food. You had started getting bored with the food, I believe.
Yep.
And bored with the festival in general.
The whole thing in general.
But now, this year, with everything going on, this is like a little highlight to talk about. And it's almost forgotten about. I don't think many people realize that Food and Wine's actually going on currently at Epcot this year. And it's actually, they started it early. They started it the day the park reopened, correct? Like July 14th or whatever it was.
It's too much of a revenue generator, Billy. They can't go without that.
Right. So they brought it back, and they brought it back early, and hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, mostly because no one's going to the parks right now. But I think we should at least talk about some of the menu items here. And we're going to go to one of my favorite Disney websites, the Disney Food Blog. I don't know. Are you a purveyor of that website?
Oh, absolutely.
They have a great YouTube channel too. Do you like their YouTube channel?
DFB.
DFB. Yeah. So anyway, so Disney Food Blog, they do a great job of summarizing all the booths. So we're going to get right into it here. Unless you have anything else you want to talk about before we start running down the food. Do you have this list in front of you, or do you want me to read it all off?
I have it in front of me.
All right. As always, we'll start at the beginning. It goes alphabetically. And we're going to start at the booth for Africa. And they have a spicy Kenyan vegan corn with white beans and pigeon peas, quinoa, ancient grains medley, and kombuchari slaw.
It's okay.
That sounds like that's not up your alley. I like the first word sounded good, spicy, and then everything else after that, you lost me. $4.50 for that one. That's a plant-based vegan entree for those of you out there that are looking for something like that. And then we have the Piri Piri skewered shrimp with citrus-scented couscous for $6.75. That sounds pretty good. Piri Piri is like a hot pepper. It's like an African hot pepper. So it's probably
a spicy thought that was shrimp. A guy who was good amateur, Dr. George Piri. No?
Dr. George
no
Piri relation? Piri. No, I don't think they're related.
Okay.
I don't think so. But we could look into it, and they might be. Any interest in the shrimp? You like shrimp generally, right?
Yeah, no, I'm all set with this.
That's all set. So we're going to skip over Africa
and
for
just,
you.
Just to let you know, these are all DDP snack eligible, Disney Dining Plan snack eligible. However, there is no Disney Dining Plan right now.
Oh, but they're eligible.
They're eligible, but they don't have the Disney Dining Plan now.
They did get I didn't realize that. There's no dining plan right now?
No.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Because I assumed if you had already booked... Because weren't they letting you in if you had booked a vacation before everything and letting you keep going through with it?
And if you had but you know, obviously the resorts were all closed. Like,
that's true.
I couldn't get into the yacht club, so they're adjusting things. But from what I understand, there is no Disney dining plan.
Okay, but snack eligible nonetheless. Maybe they were planning on having it back at some point, but you know that's not going to happen. We're going to move on to the Appleseed Orchard booth next. And at this booth, we have a charcuterie and cheese plate featuring Burton's Maplewood Farm Applejack Brandy Barreled Aged Maple Syrup for $6.50. Pass. And a caramel apple popcorn for $7. That sounds expensive. Is that like a full-size popcorn?
Way better be, Pods.
$7. I mean, that's a lot for popcorn, in my opinion. It looks like it comes in like a special reusable tin or plastic. It looks like an apple. I'm looking at the pictures here. So it's a plastic apple. So that's probably why it's $7. You get the reusable thing. The charcuterie board looks okay, but it's very small. There's like three pieces of meat on there, a little bit of cheese, not a whole lot going on in that that charcuterie board. I think the big thing on this one is the frozen apple pie, which is $4, which is technically a beverage, but it's kind of a snack. It's a drink that must taste like an apple pie, yet it's frozen. Hard pass on that booth again.
Nothing's really slapping me in the face right now, Billy.
Now, I notice we're only two deep, but each one only has two offerings. Did they cut back on a lot of the offerings, didn't they? So each booth isn't offering as much.
Sure appears to be, because they used to have 3 to 4.
Right, and there's only been two, and we're going to move right along to Canada, and they also only have two. But they usually only had two, correct?
Billy,
they have...
it appears that you're skipping a B, Brazil.
Oh, did I skip over? I apologize. I did skip over a B, Brazil.
Which is one of my favorite items.
Yes, the crispy pork belly with black beans, tomato, and onions for $6. That is a great one, and I do apologize for almost skipping over that. That's fantastic. That is really good. And you know what I like about that? I like that it's small. I don't know if I could eat a huge portion of it. Could you eat an entree sized portion of that?
I don't know. I could. It's pretty damn good, Bill.
It's good, but it's rich. Like it. I don't know. I just feel like it's too rich. I just feel like there's so much fat. I don't know if I could eat like a 6 ounce piece of that pork belly in one sitting. I guess we could find out. And then the other entree at Brazil is the Pão de Queijo Brazilian cheese bread for $4.50. I had that once. It was okay. I had nothing I would go out of my way to get. But if I was
when was the last time you were at Food and Wine?
Wasn't it technically going on for the gentleman's trip last year?
Oh, you're correct. Yeah, I think so.
Last year. Jamming. But I didn't have it then. I had it a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago then, 3 years ago. And I had that cheese bread, and it was good. Like, it goes good. If you're already in line for the pork belly and you want something else, the cheese bread
might as well get that option.
Might as well get that. So now as I went ahead, but now we can go to Canada, and they have the classics. The
same stuff.
Cheddar cheese, a bacon soup with a pretzel roll for $5.25. And the Le Cellier wild mushroom beef filet with truffle butter sauce for $8.25. Still Disney dining plan eligible, I may add. Both of those are good. Can't really go wrong with those. I love the soup. I love the filet. They do such a good job with those little pieces of filet. It's amazing
how they cook it so perfectly. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Like, this little piece, you feel like it would be overcooked and dried out, but they nail it. Seems like, I'm sure on the occasion you get a piece that's overcooked, but for the most part, they seem to do a really good job. All right, I'll move on to the Citrus Blossom booth, which has a lobster tail with Meyer lemon emulsion and grilled lemon for $8.25.
That sounds fantastic.
That does sound pretty good. Because, shellfish goes very well with citrus. Like, lemon on shrimp or clams always goes pretty good. And then we have a crispy citrus chicken with orange aioli and baby greens. That sounds right up my alley. I'm actually going to look at a picture and see how this looks. The Citrus Blossom. That lobster tail looks really good. And the chicken, actually, it looks like a big chunk of, like, fried chicken. So it's a fried chicken, obviously crispy chicken, with an orange aioli. That sounds like it's right up my alley. I would definitely go for that. And the lobster tail, not bad. It's a pretty decent size for $8.25 for what you usually get at Food & Wine. If you click on the name of the booth, it pops up with some pictures.
Gotcha.
I usually right click because it goes to another page, and I open it in a new tab if you want to really get behind the scenes here. At some point, if we really play around with this thing, I could put like pictures up that I'm looking at on the screen so people could see. But I don't know how to do that. Like, you could change like the format of everything. Very crazy. All right, so past the Citrus Blossom. Oh, they also have an orange cream shake and a souvenir orange bird sipper cup for $15. So it comes in a souvenir cup, $15 for orange cream sipper. Do you like the citrus swirl and like orange creamsicle flavor stuff?
No. I never like creamsicles. Nope. I just go straight up. Nope.
Straight up orange juice.
I'll drink orange juice. I like orange juice. Mm-hmm. I never liked this that creamsicle. Popsicle. Yeah, I never liked the creamsicle.
I've always been a fan. I like that flavor. We're on to China, and we have some chicken dumplings with Chinese slaw for $4.95, which sounds pretty good to me, and a Mongolian beef bao bun for $6.75.
Bill.
Also sounds good. Yes.
There's something that messed me up now about dumplings. I was never a dumpling person.
Okay.
Then I was watching a California Grill video, and they have an appetizer, and it's beef short ribs dumplings.
Ooh. That's messing you up, huh? That looks anything you get like the beef short rib, it doesn't matter what they put it in, it's gonna mess you up, isn't it?
Yes.
You got beef short rib taco, beef short rib bao bun, beef short rib,
yes,
you know, sushi. You're like, oh, that sounds good to me. It does sound good. How can you go wrong with that? It's funny because the Chinese booth at the festivals is always pretty solid, in my opinion.
Oh, you always hit those up.
Yeah, but the food in the China booth or the China pavilion is pretty lacking. I mean, the quick serve's not that great. The sit down, from what people say, I haven't been, is just okay. It's not the worst, but it's not like anything to go out of your way for. Where you look at Japan and they have a ton of great options for food, and their festival booths are usually pretty good too. But like, obviously, it's there. The decent Chinese food is available and around, and I don't know why. Seems like, I don't know, Disney just missing the boat on that all year round. People like me, we love our Chinese food. I would go. I would eat Chinese food at Disney if they had good Chinese food. That's how much I like Chinese food.
We'll have to do Lotus Blossom. Just do a quick serve because I ate there. It was pretty good. The egg roll is really good.
I'm sure. See, it's the white rice, Bill. I can't.
That bothers you.
That bothers me. It just feels cheap. It's like,
what about if you load it with soy sauce?
Not the same. It's just not the same. I need like the little chunks of vegetable, the chunks of pork in there. That's the way to do it. All right. The next booth, we'll go quickly over this one because you and I are not dessert guys, but we have the desserts and champagne booth, and they have these liquid nitro chocolate cake pops, and you could get it plain with crumbled Twix bars and
this is awful.
Crumbled M&Ms.
Oh, good Lord. That's so gross.
I mean, you're not a dessert guy, certainly. They're just like little. Take a peek. They don't look terrible.
They look pretty bad.
They don't look terrible. I mean, I know you and I wouldn't go after those, but they don't look great. Now, the thing that sounds good to me, which you're probably going to say sounds terrible, is this frozen s'mores shake for $4.50. Yeah, I like s'mores.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm a big s'mores guy. Yeah.
Do you guys do s'mores in the backyard?
We do. We have our little fire pit. We do them occasionally. It's always good. Anybody listening on the stream, go ahead and comment. We'll get you on the screen. I want to see who's here participating. I notice our numbers bumped up a little bit. So
you don't even have to fund our Patreon.
No,
page. We'll throw you on there.
Yeah. Ooh, Patreon supporter Doug Willing says, thumbs up, guys. We're going to go to the...
He's a $2 a month guy, too.
Yeah, that's the high level. We have the 23 cent a month. We have the 51 cent a month. The 94 cent a month, and then the $2 a month. So Doug's a high end guy.
Yeah, he's on the high end.
That gets him on the gentleman's trip.
Yes, it does.
To be the camera guy.
You can be a videographer on a gentleman's trip.
For $2 a month, you pay your own way to the gentleman's trip.
And now, if anybody wants to up the ante to three or four, Doug's gone and you can
out. We'll kick him right out.
On our gentleman's trip.
We have no problem with that at all.
We can be bought, can't we?
Oh, very easily. Very easily. Let's move on to the Earth Eats booth. What do you say?
Okay.
Are you excited about the vegan options here at the Earth Eats booth?
Not really. Are you?
You know what? I would try these because I've had the Impossible Burger from Burger King, and it wasn't bad. So I wouldn't be against it. I don't think I'd spend the money on it. But if someone was like, try this, it's an Impossible meatball, I would try it.
Okay.
So they have the Impossible Farmhouse Meatball with a lentil bread, spinach, marinated vegetables, and a creamy herb dressing for $5.75. They have the Impossible Burger Slider with wasabi cream and spicy Asian slaw on a sesame seed bun, also for $5.25. And then they have a chocolate pudding terrarium with avocado cream, matcha crumble, and baby herbs. I would not eat that. $5.25. So if I gave you...
It's a firm no from me, Bill, on all three.
Would you try it just to see what the Impossible thing's about? That's kind of where I am on that, too. That's where I am on that. All right, we'll quickly move on from the Earth Eats and go to France, which usually is a solid booth. France usually is a solid... Yes, we have the Tarte Oignon Caramelise et Chavry. I don't know if I did that properly or not, but it is a goat cheese tart with caramelized onions on a flaky pastry crust, $5.50, which sounds really, really, really good. I love goat cheese. Are you a goat cheese guy?
Not so much.
No, it's got that real tangy, almost like sour flavor to it. Yeah. I like goat cheese, though. It hits me in the right spot. Goat cheese is good. With a caramelized onion, sounds perfect. Then they have the Canard confit à l'orange, and it's a braised duck confit à l'orange with mashed sweet potatoes for $6.25. So orange duck confit with mashed sweet potatoes.
Well, these options, they took the escargots off.
They took the escargot. I guess they probably were trying to, I don't know. That was a popular one. I don't think it's been there for the last couple of years, though. I think the escargot has been escargot.
They were good, too. Oh, they were. Oh, yeah. So garlicky. Oh, mm-hmm. So good.
You didn't even need the snail. You could just eat like the garlic butter with that bread. It was fine. Then they have a cake, which is a tart tropezien, which is I don't even know what this is. A brioche cake filled with light pastry cream and raspberry coulis for $3. Little dessert. Brioche cake, light pastry cream. It sounds okay to me. But the duck thing, I don't like sweet. Do you like sweet potatoes?
No.
Like mashed sweet potatoes?
Nope. Sweet potato fries. Nope.
I'm not a fan either. that should be something that's right up my alley, and it's just not for me. I don't like that. So that duck confit, the sweet orange glaze on the duck and the sweet potato mashed potatoes, I think I'd be out on that. I usually like duck. You know how I am with the duck confit. I'm always about that. But for this one, I'm going to take a hard pass, I believe. Not that I'm going, but you know what right. I'm saying.
The tart actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, that the goat cheese and caramelized onion tart, I would go out of my way to get that. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm talking about the dessert.
Oh, the dessert. I'm sure it's good. That actually, yet. I did mention it. I said it's a brioche cake filled with pastry cream and raspberry coulis. I didn't see a picture of it, but oh, it's cute. It's a little circle thing, just a little. Yeah. It's almost nice like a like a nice bonbon or something. Yeah.
All right.
It does have a nice presentation. All right, let's go on to Germany. And they have their classic Schnickennudeln, which is a pasta gratin with ham, onions, and cheese. Just basically mac and cheese with ham in it. Now, can't really go wrong with that. And then they have a roast bratwurst in a Propeller, which is a pretzel roll. Propeller pretty pretzel good. Roll. Yeah, but you and I are on record as anti-bratwurst guys, aren't we? I think we're pretty firm. I'll eat one, but I'm not going to go out of my way.
No.
Like, if I went to some hellhole like Mason, Michigan, and that was all they had, if they were grilling up some brats and I was there, I would eat one out of courtesy.
And you were 14 into it?
Yeah. Not to be rude, I would eat one. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't be happy about it.
No, I know. I know what you mean.
So, and then they also have an apple strudel with vanilla sauce for $4, which sounds pretty good. How good does that look? That always sounds and looks good. I mean, that's always there. It's simple, but I mean, how can you go wrong with little apple strudel, some vanilla?
You know what that looks like? It looks like a McDonald's apple pie on steroids.
I don't know if that's what they're going for, but
no, I'm sure it's not. I'm just saying visually.
But it does, yeah. It does kind of look like that. I haven't had one of those.
Those are so good, aren't they?
Probably 25 years. I can't. Those are,
I probably the same, but weren't those good?
I don't know. It's been so long. Crunchy. I don't even remember if they were good.
So crunchy.
There's some things at McDonald's that I used to have. Remember the cookies they had? The little bag of cookies?
Yes.
Those are good. I don't think they do that anymore. All right. Should we move on from Germany?
Sure.
To Hawaii? And again, they have the classic Kalua pork slider with sweet and sour dole pineapple chutney and spicy mayonnaise, $5.25. And a teriyaki glazed spam hash with potatoes, peppers, onions, and spicy mayonnaise, $4.25. All right, that's 0-2 for you, isn't it?
Yep, sure is.
I would try it. Again, I had that. I think Frank got that spam thing a couple years ago when we went, and I didn't like it.
He would get that.
He loves spam. He's unabashedly a spam guy. No, unabashedly a spam guy.
Please, please, please tell me you didn't have that for dinner growing up.
No, once in a while, my mom would make it like spam and eggs for breakfast, but I didn't even like it then. It's bad. That's like straight mud. That's like
it as bad as like I think it would be?
No, you're definitely overplaying. It's not terrible.
Does it make that sound when you crank the can that I think it would be like
what sound?
Like, you know, when we were a kid, we had the puddings and it was like in a...
Oh, like the tin? Yeah.
The tin.
Yeah.
But I would think that there's like this about a quarter of an inch of sludge on top of it.
Okay. So yeah, you're pretty accurate with that. That's basically where we are. Yeah.
So like when you crack it open, does it do the... And then you get in the filth like when you...
Speaking of garbage based in Michigan, Michael Baron Schaefer says, greetings, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hi, Schaefer. Nice to see you. Thanks for joining. You basically get that like grease, like congealed, like it probably when you open it, the top inch is the same consistency as the pudding that you're talking about.
So
just like you could touch it and it will wiggle.
Like there, if you get it on your finger and it's dripping down, there's no way to get it off, right?
Oh, it's just grease, pure, dirty grease that smells.
So how do you prepare it? Do you wipe it down?
It's spiced ham. So basically,
yeah, but it's got a shelf life of like 8 million years.
It's like pasteurized, spiced salt. There's so much salt in it, Bill. That's the thing.
And how would Frank eat it? Does he just eat it straight up? Like just crack it open, wipe it down?
No. You cut it. you like take it out, you chop it up into little cubes, and you like pan fry it so it gets a little crispy. And then you like make it with the eggs. Or you could do slices and make it like a slice of ham, and you brown it on each side. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying you can prepare it where it's not terrible. Like, you're not going to eat it cold, like on a sandwich. I guess you could. You're thinking of it like bologna. Like, you just get a slice of bologna and a slice of Spam. It's not like that. You can heat it up, and it's not bad. Okay. Kind of like bologna. Like, I hate, you like bologna, though, don't
you? Yeah, well, I like nice fried bologna with melted cheese on toast. Yep.
So bologna, to me, is a step below Spam.
So you'd rather have Spam than bologna?
Yes, I hate bologna.
Oh, okay.
But fried bologna isn't bad. Mm-hmm. So like Spam cooked is more akin to fried bologna. So you might actually like it. It's like salty, lunch meaty kind of thing. I think if you can get over the initial
shock,
like opening the can, you'd probably enjoy Spam. Like if I just prepared you some and gave it to you and told you it was just ham, you might not even notice.
Okay.
Well, let's move on from this.
Yeah.
So, okay, regardless, you're gonna take a pass on these. I would definitely try the Kahlua pork slider. We're gonna go to hops and barley for the New England lobster roll. Warm lobster roll with fresh herb mayonnaise on a griddled roll for $8.25.
Do you think it looks like that?
Oh, the picture? Usually not. It's usually a lot smaller, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it looks like that.
That doesn't look bad, does it?
No, it's very small, everything though. This looks fantastic.
It is small. And then we have the seafood boil, which that sounds, I mean, that'd be such a tease for me because there's so little to it.
Well, you'd run to put your running shoes on and go over to Ale and Compass and get the full blown
verger because it's got shrimp, mussels, crawfish, potatoes, corn, and andouille sausage. There's no way you're getting all of that in your serving for $8. You know what I mean? Are you getting a little bit of everything in? It's not enough. You need to go big on that. That's like a full, that's where you want to go to Cape May and get that at the buffet and just put a pile of filth on your plate, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one to get for $8, but it looks really good. And then a freshly baked carrot cake with cream cheese icing for $4.25. You're on the record. You're a carrot cake guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I could do that. Sure.
As far as desserts, that one looks really good too. It looks like a muffin. They just like poured the glaze over it. Looks very good. Let's see, what else do we have going on here? Anything else you want to talk about at the hops and barley booth?
No, both those entrees look fantastic, though.
They do look very good. You go with the seafood. That's easy to win us over, isn't it? Just give us some seafood. It's not hard. We got the Islands of the Caribbean booth with the Ropa Vahia empanada with tomato aioli for $5.50. I don't know what that means. I know what tomato aioli is, but I don't know what Ropa Vahia is. And then we have a jerk spice chicken with roasted sweet plantain salad and a mango chutney yogurt for $5.50. And there's a dessert called a flan choco, which is a passion fruit cake with coconut flan. That does not sound that good. Let's look at this. The empanada looks good.
Oh, yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
I don't know what's in that. Is that beef? Well, I don't know what meat that is in there. Ropa Vahia. But it looks
at least
good.
We know it's meat and it's not plant-based.
Yeah, because it was definitely say plant-based. It looks like if you ever like chew up a Slim Jim and then like pull it out of your teeth and it's all like stringy like that.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Do you like Slim Jims?
I love Slim Jims.
Oh, so good, aren't they? You ever get the Tabasco one?
Tabasco, yeah. I've had those. Those are good.
Those are good.
I thought you said tobacco. I was like, no, I haven't had the tobacco ones. They may make them down in the South, yeah.
Yeah.
The tobacco. This one's good. Those things, that's basically what Spam is. It's like that grade of meat with that much salt in it is what Spam is.
Yeah, you never know. I might start eating them.
You might like Spam.
Just stuff it in my hand when I take Rhodey for a walk and just eat a thing of Spam.
Just right out of the can, just bring a fork.
Oh, just hold it. I can just eat it out of my hand.
It might slip out, though. It's pretty slimy.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. All right, should we move on to Italy?
Italia.
We have a margherita, rustic Italian flatbread with tomato sauce and mozzarella cheese, $7.95. Keep it simple. Can't go wrong with that. That looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, that really
looks
does
like look like a dirty slice of Schlitzer, doesn't it?
Cooked perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Then they have the La Classica, which is a cheese tortellini with ricotta, provolone, fontina, parmesan, vodka sauce, and crispy bacon for $8.50. That sounds good. I love that. And then they have the cannoli. Hey, cannoli, take the gun, good. Leave the cannoli. Oh, leave the whatever.
Leave the you gun, take saying. The cannoli.
Yeah. Yeah. Crisp pastry filled with sweet ricotta, chocolate, and candied orange, $4.95. Just traditional. A traditional cannoli. How do you, I mean, that's the thing. People try to like mess with this stuff. All of a sudden you have blood orange cannoli with, you know, candied pistachios. Like, just keep it simple. There's a reason people like cannolis. The combination works. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Keep it simple. That tortellini looks fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That's something I would order a full plate of.
You sight want a full unseen. Plate out of that?
Sight unseen. That would be like if I saw that on the menu at one of the restaurants there, I would be like, oh, I'm going to get that. Just I love tortellini anyway, but then that combination of cheeses with the vodka sauce, which I love, and then bacon on top. Man, that is speaking my language. We're both Italian food lovers, so it's not hard to get us on board with that. What would you pick the pizza over the tortellini?
Yeah, the tortellini looks a little too yellow cheesy for me.
Well, that's the vodka sauce, I believe.
Yeah, no, I would I would do the pizza over
the
pizza, that.
The pizza looks good though. That looks like the best slice you can get, not inside the restaurant in all of Disney World. Just looking at it. Looks better than any of the other pizza, you know.
Oh yeah,
that you can get for one slice. Then we got Japan next, and they have a tempura donburi, which is two pieces of tempura shrimp and kakai, I don't know what that is, a vegetable tempura with tensuyu dipping sauce served over sushi rice for $8.
Looks good.
That sounds really good.
Yep, looks good too.
The frothy ramen, chilled noodles and dashi broth topped with egg white froth for $6.25. I tried that. It was not bad. And then they have the chirashashi sushi flower pot, fresh cut salmon, salmon roe, and spinach served over sushi rice with furikake and topped poke sauce for $6.75. So basically a sushi. They make it look like a flower. Is that how that goes? Oh, it's a flower pot. I don't know. That looks a little out there for me. Yeah.
I'm all set with that.
But that tempura looks good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That looks really good. And then we have the next booth is the mac and cheese hosted by Borson Cheese booth, which it's about time there's a booth dedicated to just mac and cheese. We have the gourmet macaroni and cheese with Borson garlic and fine herb cheese topped with herbed panko breadcrumbs for $4.50. The buffalo chicken mac and cheese with Borson cheese sauce topped with carrots, celery, and blue cheese crumbles. That sounds really good.
Nope.
You don't like blue cheese or you don't like buffalo?
I don't like buffalo.
You don't? You like buffalo wings, though, don't
buffalo
you?
Buffalo wings, yes.
But you don't like buffalo flavored anything else?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I love buffalo mac and cheese. I've had buffalo chicken mac and cheese. It's very good. I like that. How about lobster mac and cheese?
That looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, with the lobster, with the cheese sauce and lobster cream topped with herb panko. And then we have a mac and cheese with house-made Italian sausage and peppers, plant-based. So everything else sounds pretty good until you get to that plant-based part of the sausage and peppers. But all these mac and cheese are right up my... That lobster one looks fantastic.
That looks great. That looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would give the lobster one, the traditional two, and then the buffalo number three. But I would definitely try all three of those without hesitation. They all sound good. That's a good booth, Bill. That's a very good booth, I think. Should we go on to Mexico, or is there anything else you'd like to add here?
No.
Let's move on.
Let's move on to Mexico.
All right, we have a ribeye taco. I mean, you got me there. We were just talking about that. You just put a good...
Their tortillas are so good there, too.
Oh, they give you like the two or three together, kind of, the soft ones. I like that when they do that.
Yeah, yeah, they just have such nice flavor. Oh, they're nice.
So it's ribeye steak with ranchera salsa and a corn tortilla topped with onions, chives, and a lime wedge for $6.95. Just simple, Bill.
Oh, it's so good.
Just simple and good. How can you beat that? You get a good cut of meat, seasoned well, a little bit of salsa, onions, lime, perfect. A little bit of
this
hot sauce.
This is the one I'm becoming Pavlov's dog right now because I love the Mexican booth.
Yeah, you love all the Mexican food at Disney, don't you?
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part. And then they have this pork tostada, which is a fried corn tortilla topped with chipotle black beans, roasted pork, fresh salsa verde, onions, and cilantro for $6. Those both sound fantastic, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I would get both of those. No doubt about it, in a heartbeat. That sounds like a great, great little meal. We have Morocco coming up, and we have the beef kefta pocket with caramelized onions, garlic, and a spicy tomato con cuisse, whatever that means.
Probably wouldn't buy it, but I definitely would try it. Looks pretty good.
It does look good. It looks like a little meatball, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like a meatball pocket. The spicy hummus fries with cucumber, tomatoes, onions, tzatziki, and chipotle sauce for $8. I've had those. Those are really, really, really good. Do you like hummus and like falafel stuff?
Not really.
No. See, I do like that. So that's right up my alley for that. And then the chocolate baklava, rolled phyllo dough with toasted almonds and dark chocolate sauce. Doesn't sound too bad for a dessert, but we're not dessert guys when it comes to food and wine. Now, this is we're into the refreshment outpost, which is just a hot dog and some frozen Coca-Cola. So we're going to skip over that quickly. I think that's always the case there. And then we have the refreshment port, which is right near Canada, right before you get into the Canada. And that's a permanent one as well. That has the traditional poutine and the Dole Whip soft serve that you can get with the rum. So we'll skip over that one as well.
Okay,
they also have the seasonal Bloody Mary, which usually has something good on it. There's Simmering Sips Mimosa Bar, which has simmering strawberry soft serve in a waffle cone and banana bread with a mixed berry compote. So a couple desserts there. And then we're kind of coming to a bad end here. We went from Morocco all the way to the end of the list here. Where's all the other letters? There's no LMNOPs or anything. We're just at Morocco.
I thought and this was going to have to be a two-parter, and then I scrolled down.
Then we have the Wine and Dine featuring festival favorites. And, Bill, did you see what's on this one?
Oh, yeah. It's back, baby. It's back.
So this is not the Ireland booth. So they kind of combined some favorites from different booths because it looks like they tried to cut down a little bit this year. From the Poland, formerly of Poland, they have the kielbasa and potato pierogi with caramelized onions and sour cream for $5.50. Sounds very good. The seafood fisherman's pie from the Ireland booth, which you have been missing for the last, what, 2 or 3 years?
Oh, it might even be longer than that.
I mean, is that worth a trip to Epcot for you to get the fisherman's pie?
I mean, no, it's not worth a trip, but
if you were there, it would be worth, like, if you were on property or in Epcot, you would definitely get that.
Well, like staying at the yacht club, would I walk in just to get that and walk back out? Yeah, probably.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
So the seafood fisherman's pie, which is fantastic. I was able to try that once.
What did you think of it? Overrated?
It was so good. No.
You liked it, huh?
Very good, yeah. I was actually surprised how much was like chalked in there. I figured it was going to be mostly potato and like sauce. There was a ton of seafood in there, though.
It's a great product.
It really is. Then they have the spanakopita from Greece, which is a spinach pie for $4.25. Looks like they got some pretty good, they got a Guinness Bailey's milkshake, a few wines in there. So pretty good booth there. The Wine and Dine featuring festival favorites. Cool idea to have some, like, bring back some old classics to have at the festival. Now, at the funnel cake stand in the American Pavilion, they do have something that is unique to the festival, which I don't know how to feel about. I do know how to feel about this. I'm not happy about it. There's a funnel cake topped with roasted corn, cojita cheese, cilantro, and cumin crema dusted with paprika. So, I mean, you've had a funnel cake before, right?
Yeah.
It's like a doughboy. You put powdered sugar on it or ice cream on it. It's a sweet
treat. That is a lot of stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
That it's so strange. Like, all that other stuff, the roasted corn with the cheese and the cilantro, that all sounds fantastic, but I don't want it on top of a funnel cake. Yeah, it's so strange. Like, you could have that. That would have been good on top of, You could have made like nachos with that, street corn nachos at the Mexico booth, and just done regular tortillas and done it that way. And I would be all about that. That sounds really good, actually, with the nacho, but not with the funnel cake. And that thing is $9, I believe, and not Disney Dining Plan snack credit eligible.
Okay, thanks for pointing that out. Just wanted
to let you know. No problem, Dave Ramsey.
No, there was like an old PS2, one of the Major League Baseball games with Soup Campbell announcing the game, and like he would bring up some stupid thing. Oh, thanks for pointing that out, Dave, with Vince Scully and Dave Campbell.
All the announcers in all the old video games were awful, weren't they? Because they just repeated the same thing all the time.
He hit that one to the moon. It's like, okay.
And they had like two sayings about each player. So if like David Ortiz came up, they call him Big Poppy, and he always comes up big in the clutch. Every time he came up to bat, they'd say the same stupid thing.
Yep. And how advanced was that? That was even 15 years ago.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we got to the end of the booth. Should we take our second break here and come back and wrap things up? All right.
Sure.
I'll be right back. For break, you just got through listening to episode number 335 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. We talked the 2020 Food and Wine Festival at Epcot Center. We went through the menus and talked a little bit about what we liked, what we don't like. I have to say that mac and cheese booth really has my attention.
That's the one that messed you up, huh?
That messed me up because it's a lot of I'd like to try all that. See which one I like best. See, that's how they get you. Like, if you have things that are very similar with little different things, it's like, oh, I want to try each one to see how it is.
How it differs,
Where if you have, like, four different things and they're all very different, you just pick one and go with it. But when you have options that are all similar, you want to just compare and contrast. I guess maybe that's just my personality. Which one messed you up the most? What caught your attention that you weren't expecting or... Maybe you were expecting.
I don't know. The pork belly is always a hit, and the tacos.
Yeah, you love the classics there. The Italy booth caught my attention with that pizza. Looked really good.
That flatbread looks good because usually they have a ravioli that's like, eh.
Yeah, or the chicken. They always have a chicken parm that looks okay, not crazy.
In the chicken parm. I've had the chicken parm. It's
But that Japan, that tempura Japan, I think, might be a sneaky top contender. With the shrimp and the vegetables over the rice, that sounded pretty good too. Nothing too crazy though. I mean, they kind of kept it simple.
They really did simplify less it this options. Year, which is what I like.
It's not bad. I think it's actually a pretty solid offering. There's quite a few things on that list that I would definitely like to try and would check out if I was around to go to the Food and Wine Festival this year. Do you think you're heading up at some point? Is Epcot on the agenda at all in the future? Or I know you have MGM on there.
Yeah,
at some point, right?
Yeah. I'm still kicking around canceling. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Are you starting to get a little weary of it just because of what's going on?
No, I'm not. No. I'm just
don't know if it's worth the travel.
To
pay for the AP. Yeah. That's
true. I mean, you're not getting anything. I mean,
because you would go. This time you probably wouldn't go again before the end of the year if you go.
They're kind of squeezing you.
Yeah, you think
for what they're charging, and you're not getting anything.
That's true. No discounts, right, on the APs or anything, but beyond what you normally get.
No, I heard a rumor though they're doing 30% merchandise, which is nice from 20.
It's nice, but it's still spending money. Right. It'd be nicer if you could pay for the year and get like 18 months or something. Like if they gave you 6 months on the back for free to kind of make up for these 6 months that it's going to be crazy. Well, hopefully it's only 6 months, but you know what I mean? If they said, all right, you know, pay to go these 6 months and we'll kind of give it back to you at the end of your year. We'll give you an extra 6 months. That might make it worth it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or even three months, whatever.
They gave you a month, which is not worth it.
No, not at this point. What's going on? It's tough. Because you do want to go. I know you do. I know how you feel. Like, you love being up there.
Yeah.
Even now, you're tempted to go up just to check it out and go to a restaurant and everything. So, I know it's a tough call for you.
Which I can still do. I can go up to a resort or whatever. But we're getting squeezed. We can't go. I mean, that's the problem. Right. That's true. You're charging, you know, $150 a month and I can't go.
You can't even get a day to go, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's ridiculous. And you're paying for the park hopper, and you're paying for the water parks, and you don't get it, so.
Yeah, it makes it tough. I don't know what to say. You'd think they'd do a little more, but obviously most people probably just keep it going, or the people that were going to cancel anyway. I imagine you're in a smaller minority of people who want to go, but are more like most people will just say, well, the heck with it. I'll just pay the money and go when I can go. Or they say, the heck with it. I'll cancel. It's not worth it. But you're like trying to find a value proposition. I don't think that's as common as you think, you know.
I think people are either all in or all out. And that's still kind of like sticking my toe and trying.
There's not too many people on the fence at this point. I don't know. Should we wrap things up here, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Would you like to talk about our YouTube page at all?
Mm-hmm.
Since we have people's attention, let's talk about that.
Go out to YouTube, search for us at www.beyondthegates. Just threw something up there. Just went up today.
Oh, did you? I didn't even see that. I didn't even get the notification.
I usually upload it to YouTube when I'm walking the dog, and I got back and my computer was in timeout mode. So when I fired it back up, it was still at 61%. So I'm like, oh no, this could hurt bandwidth, but. It's up there now.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
so we got a new video.
We are walking from Jumbo House to Kidani Village.
Oh, nice.
Nice little walk. People like those walk arounds, don't they?
Resort walks are very nice, yes. So we got that going up. YouTube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates. You can, if you're watching us now, you know you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWBTG. You can go to Twitter and Instagram, and we're at WDWBTG on those platforms. Subscribe to us where you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you find your podcast, search for WDW Beyond the Gates and subscribe there. Our website, WDWBTG.com. You can email us info@WDWBTG.com, Gary@WDWBTG.com, and Mike@WDWBTG.com. You have anything else that you would like to add here?
Take us home, Jurgen. Take us home.
Thank you so much for tuning in live and listening to episode number 335 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. MIC.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.